Good evening. The time is 5:09 and the Warwick Finance Committee is slightly tardy but open for business. If I may have acceptance for the minutes for the committee meeting held on February 26th. I'll make a motion. Thank you. I have a motion. I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
So, good evening. This meeting came up quick on us, and I didn't get to contact all departments concerning stuff on the bid, so there will be a lot of questions and conversation, new questions, conversations on the floor. So give me one moment. So on to PCR 22-24, the bid package, item number one, bid 2024-398, purchase two 2023 Ford Police Interceptor Utility Hybrids, all-wheel drive color gray. This is with the, Good evening, Director. Please identify.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. Just one quick clarification. They're not police interceptors. They're similar vehicles, but they're not equipped for the police vehicles. These were vehicles that were available under a grant that the finance department was able to procure. It would replace two older Crown Victorias that we have that we've kind of milked every mile out of them at this point. But it's a Department of Energy grant for electric and hybrid vehicles. So initially we had come before you at the last meeting for two Ford Escapes, and there was a total of four that were approved under the ARPA funds. But because this grant became available, we can now purchase these vehicles under the grant money, saving the city money and putting that ARPA money back towards another use.
Thank you. So for clarification, it says Ford Police Interceptor. Why do you think that was put in there?
I think that's commonly how these vehicles come equipped. But in this case, talking with Mike Grant, the fleet manager, then there's no special equipment on these things. They're more akin to a Ford Explorer, but they will have warning lights and things like that on them, not regular police lights.
So they are the Ford Explorers that are also utilized, or we usually see as a police vehicle?
But without the police equipment.
But without the police equipment needed for it.
The benefit of these was that they're hybrid, so they were eligible under the grant. If we went with the Escapes, they're not eligible for any grant money. There's also, with the total being about $95,000, under these two, there's an option to have a third vehicle added. There's about 36,000 remaining on the grant, and some of the fully electric vehicles are available underneath that amount, right around 32,000. So we'll likely come back to you in a month or so once we get information on that and have an actual vehicle to purchase.
Thank you, Director. For clarification, before I go to the committee, Solicitor, the bid itself on our documents says police intercept. Do we have to worry about that, or do we have to amend?
Sorry, I had to step out of the room for a second. Could you?
Certainly, I can clarify.
The bid, this was the name of the bid that was published originally.
But yes, sir.
We are electing an option within it that is not an interceptor.
Yes. It is a Ford utility vehicle that is not going to be police equipped. So it's the one that usually looks like what our police purchased, but it will not be a police interceptor vehicle. But in the specifics of the bid, it specifically says 2023 police interceptor utility.
Just for what it's worth on the estimate, that is the product description also.
Okay.
Matches the title on the
thank you
on the bid.
If you want to proceed, I'll
give me a second. Oh, absolutely. Thank you. So if you don't mind, Director, if I could ask Major Sullivan, because I just want, maybe this will help clear it up. Major Sullivan, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I apologize about that.
Just two quick clarifications.
Yes, please.
While I'm up here. So the recommendation letter did not mention the police part of it. It did represent the interceptors. But the other thing is we're going to share one of the interceptors with the building department because they have a need as well. So we're going to work out a schedule. It won't be a vehicle that's used solely by my department.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Major, if you don't mind, just identify. I want to ask you a quick question.
Major Andy Sullivan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is it the vehicle, just for clarification, for description, and maybe this will help us, and my number one concern is that we have on the bid, and it seems like a petty thing, but we have on the bid the purchase 2023 Ford Police Interceptor Utility Hybrids. They didn't say like a particular model. I understand that when you purchase your vehicles for your department, they come under the term interceptor. Is that the brand of the vehicle, if you don't mind, or do you buy the base model of the vehicle and then you do additives?
This particular, the interceptor they build particularly, especially for the police officers, for police departments. That doesn't necessarily mean they couldn't be sold to another non-police entity. They're just not equipped with the barrier for the back seat and various other components. Right. All in all, it basically comes down to being a V6 Ford Explorer.
A V6, that this one's hybrid. Do you have any hybrid vehicles on
here? We have two. We just acquired two recently.
Okay. Thank you so much. So that was the description I was looking for, like what makes it this name. So the name seems a little deceiving, but the branding seems a little deceiving, but it's kind of like another way of just calling, if you will, Taurus an interceptor.
Basically, that's how I interpret it. I don't think...
Understood. Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Are there questions from members of the committee before we go on?
Just one or
Councilman
two.
Gebhardt.
Thank you. I noticed that the original bid was printed out here for us. Are we going to take any action on this bid for the prior approved vehicles?
So your question is, will the two prior vehicles?
Yeah, well, will we just cancel this or?
So, yeah, it's number 10. We're going to, okay. That's going to be added. So we're going to, we'll, when we get to that item, we'll get to that item. So for now, we'll address that when we get there. Thank you.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
Are there any questions from members of the committee? Any questions? Oh, sorry.
I'll just say kudos on finding the grant. That lets us purchase these.
Well, I have to give credit to the finance department and Matt Clarkin, and Peter, but we were more than happy to go that route.
Great, thank you.
And for my clarification, you got this grant, and part of the purpose of the grant was to buy hybrid or electric vehicles, and because these two vehicles that you're looking to purchase that are identified as police interceptors are hybrid, they qualify under the grant. So this is, as you mentioned, this is being purchased under the grant, not the ARPA funds.
Correct.
So therefore, this is okay. Thank you. Questions from members of the council. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I also just wanted to point out that nowadays, when looking at utility hybrid vehicles, we're looking at a total price contract award of slightly under $95,000 for two vehicles. And so just generally speaking, just based on my general knowledge of how much new hybrid vehicles tend to go for nowadays, that seems quite reasonable. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Good evening.
So, on this vehicle, what is a Wayland Amber Hideaways in rear, Wayland Eons in grill amber, and single switch for lights. What is all that stuff?
These were warning lights that were added at the recommendation of the fleet manager, Michael Grant. Because we often are parked on the side of the road while we're looking at properties, he wanted to make sure that we had some safety precautions. Because these don't have the lights the police department would typically have, he asked that these lights, just regular warning lights, be added.
So I don't understand it. So right now, are you suggesting that these two vehicles are already in the process, that these things have already been added to this vehicle?
No, they're added on your quote, but they're not added. Nobody's building the vehicle yet. These are very similar. You're going to see later on in the bid package us coming back in front of you for the two Ford Escapes that were approved to put the same lights on it, because when Mike initially spec'd those out, he didn't add the warning lights, and he felt it was a safety issue and they should have them.
Why would there be a safety issue? I mean, what's the difference when someone from the building department or the minimum housing people or anyone else for that matter that's on the road, you pull up to a property, you either park in the driveway or, you know, you park on the side of the road. You've got the warning flashes, right? They flash in the front, they flash in the back. I don't understand what's happening with some of this spending. I just think that some of this spending is really getting out of control. Now, this grant, you said that this grant wouldn't apply to a Ford Escape, a hybrid Ford Escape. Why wouldn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily a hybrid Ford Escape, because what we had to do was find hybrid vehicles that were non-plug-in, because we don't have enough charging stations. And even when the four charging stations get installed, if we had four vehicles just from my department that were taking up those spaces, that would kind of defeat the purpose. To address the other issue, our process is quite a bit different from what the building inspector might do. Normally, they will pull on the property. They will pull in the driveway. A lot of our work is done from the roadway. So we're a safety issue on the roadway. And I'm going to defer to the fleet manager and his knowledge of what's happened with similar vehicles that were in the roadway and his recommendation to make sure that our employees and the public stay safe.
So when you're doing this inspection, that's, you know, mostly from the road, are you folks wearing a reflective safety vest?
No, typically they're going to stay in the car for certain procedures. Uh-huh. So one of the things we do is what's called a tangible situs visit. We're going to go by each business, and sometimes those businesses are in residential areas, sometimes they're not, and confirm that that business is still active. We do that a couple of times per year, but that's generally done from the roadway, so we're not pulling in and out of somebody's individual driveway.
So does that mean that if this is approved, does that mean that all of the other city cars, let's say in minimum housing, in the building department, in the water department, in the sewer department, in the school department, well, not so much the school department, we don't really control what they do. Does that mean all those other vehicles are going to have to be equipped with the warning lights?
I can't answer that. I would defer to Mike Grant, but he's the one that recommended this. I do believe that the Ford Escapes that the building department purchased have those same lights. Mm-hmm. But again, their process is a little bit different and might not be as necessary.
Do you believe that the Ford Escapes have a hybrid version?
No, Mike spent a lot of time, and I did my own research. It's very difficult to find a non-plug-in hybrid. So a lot of the hybrids that are out there require you to plug in. And so again, Mike spent a lot of time. This is what he came up with that would qualify under the grant. And it's grant money, so it saves the ARPA money for a better purchase for the city.
The hybrid version, I've done a little research on it as well. The life of that battery, by the way, is this car a one battery or a two?
I believe it's just a one. This is just a hybrid. It's mainly a gasoline vehicle. That's one of the reasons why the fleet manager liked it. They don't have any experienced people to maintain fully electric vehicles yet. It's kind of a new territory for the city. But this is very similar to what they maintain on a daily basis now. So the battery is probably a little bit larger. But it's not like you would find in a typical all-electric vehicle where those batteries are much, much larger and heavier.
And some of the vehicles have two batteries in them. And the battery life on these things could, depending upon the amount of use, and I'm sure this isn't, these vehicles are not going to be on the road like on a daily basis, right? It's going to be more during, you know, the reevaluation time.
Well,
so it's not like that, you're on the road every day.
That's daily. We plan to have five appraisers out in the field every day.
Mm-hmm. And the batteries, they have a lifespan. It could be anywhere from 8 years to 100,000 miles. It's somewhere in that range. But to replace them, they could be anywhere from 1,800 to 8,000.
I don't think that's the type of vehicle we're looking at here. This vehicle would function on fully gasoline powered fuel.
Right.
So
like a Jeep. A Jeep can function, because I was been looking at them. I almost bought one, but I decided not to because of a lot of this stuff with the cost of repairs and the cost of maintenance, et cetera, on those hybrid vehicles. And the Jeep has the same thing. It's got, you know, can run on electric power, battery power, you can run on gas. So
the electric power on this hybrid is not a long range. It's a very short range. So I don't think the battery is that large, or I don't think there's two batteries. But again, it's going to function even without the electric capability that it has. But you don't get this vehicle if you don't have that component. So you have to spend the city's money rather than the grant money.
And there's going to be about 36,000. You said the grant's 131,000. Can
Correct.
This grant be used for something else, by the way, as opposed to this? Can it be used for anything else besides these two vehicles?
It was an incentive to purchase fully electric or hybrid electric non-plug-in vehicles.
And what happens with the 36,000 that's left?
Well, we have a quote for a Chevy Bolt, which is a fully electric. Talking with Mike Grant, they're looking to gain the experience on that technology at some point. So it would be a good way for them to ease into it with one vehicle and see how it goes. There's going to be a warranty period on that vehicle, but that will be in front of you at a later date, probably next month.
What do you mean ease into it with one vehicle?
Well, the department that he runs maintains all of our fleet vehicles. So they have to have the knowledge and experience in that department to be able to maintain whatever vehicles we purchase. He initially looked at the all-electric vehicles when we first found out about the grant and said they didn't have enough expertise on that to guarantee that they could properly maintain those vehicles for us. And he recommended that we look at the hybrids because they function and they can be maintained. They have oil in them. They get the same maintenance schedule that a regular gasoline vehicle does. So again, this is his recommendation, but it also meets the requirements of the grant.
And what about the 60,000 or close to it that's left from the original allocation for the four Ford Edges?
That will be up to the administration and the finance department, but from what I've been told, it'll go back into the available money to be used for other ARPA-related and approved purchases.
It'll go back into other ARPA-related purchases.
So I believe the last update you got was in January as far as the use of the remaining ARPA funds. Mm-hmm. The next update that you get, I don't know the timing of when that will be. That's up to Peter. But the next update will probably have an alternate use of those funds since we don't need to use them for the vehicles.
It's funny you mention that because I just requested that last week. Just requested that very thing last week. And down the bottom of this estimate, it says that under special instructions, it says this estimate is for budgetary purposes and not a guarantee of cost for services. So are we to assume that this price of $94,943 is not locked in stone? There could potentially be a different price one way or another?
No, it's locked in stone. I think that's just the typical terminology that they put on their quotes. This was a vehicle that Mike had pulled out of a grant. I believe it was through the state of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So it's a set bid that was already held where we can get the vehicle for that price. It's probably just a boilerplate template that they used.
Thank you, Councilman. You hit the 10 minutes. I was going to ask if there were any other council members that had a question. Any other council members that had a question?
Can I finish the question I started asking?
You hit the 10-minute mark when you were at the last question. You went over while he answered it. I will ask members of this committee if they would like to allocate more time, if there's a motion.
I'll move to let the councilman ask his last question.
Second.
We have a motion for the councilman to ask his final question. Are there any?
Thank you.
May I have a motion? Oh, I'm sorry. We have a motion, a second. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. Sorry, councilman. Go ahead.
Thank you. It says upfit subtotal, $1,325. What is an upfit subtotal? What is that?
I believe that's the light package that you had inquired about earlier.
That's in here already. It's $900, $950. That's already in here. It's a $450 item for one of the three I mentioned, $450 for another and $50 for another. So that's already in there. Down at the bottom of this page, it has upfit subtotal, $1,325.
So I have to believe that's the total installation, including the city seals that they're going to put on the vehicles and you know, to get it ready to ship out the door.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from members of the council? Any further questions from members of the council? Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. Hi, Director.
Good evening.
I just want to, I mean, we don't get much information anymore. There's not even three pages. One is just the title. But the first two cars were $60,000. Now, and we voted on four. But now we're getting these two for, well, $94,943, like $95,000 for these two. And I know a councilman took a few of my questions because, first of all, I wanted to know if that energy efficiency could be used any other way. But no, it had to be used on the cars.
Correct.
I just think it's crazy that we're going from $60,000 for two, and then we're going to get two different ones for $95,000. And I could just see maybe other departments pulling this down the road. And, you know, $95,000 is still a lot of money.
Yep.
And, you know, even though it's a grant, I don't think just because it's a grant, we should say, oh, well, we don't care. It's not our money. It's still money that the city could be doing other stuff with. So that bothers me. I don't feel comfortable with two.
Well, just to clarify, you did not approve four vehicles last time. When Peter came in front of the committee with the updated budget for the ARPA funds, that was for four vehicles for $120,000. That was approved. Then when we came in front of the finance committee last time, it was to purchase two of those vehicles.
I understand
because
that.
There was only two that were available at the time, and we were looking for additional vehicles. But to clarify, for the city, this actually puts $60,000 back into the city funds where we can use for other purposes, where this grant could solely be used to buy cars.
I understand that. All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions from members of this council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Next on the item is bid 2024-401, police ballistic vests for police officers. This is found on page 4. Good evening, Major.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the police department. The police department is requesting $50,000 in spending authority for the ballistic vest bid that is scheduled to expire on March 31st, 2024. We anticipate a minimum of 28 total current and new officers requiring new vests during this one-year bid cycle, which goes from April 1st, 2024 to March 31st, 2025. If approved, funding for this purchase would continue to be made from the police operating budget code 30-260, miscellaneous police gear and uniforms.
Thank you, Major. And for clarification, well, not clarification, for reiteration, this is contractual, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this is 100% for the safety of the officers that serve our city?
Yes.
Thank you. Questions for members of this committee? Questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
The next item is bid 2024-364, police purchase of patrol rifles. Oh, correction. I apologize. We have now hit the part where I'm going to ask for if there's any items that members of this committee, the council, and the public would like to pull for discussion from this bid packet. So I'll give everyone a moment, and then I will go through the committee, then the council, then the public. I will ask the committee, is there any item on this bid package that they would like to discuss? Councilman Foley.
Item 2024-370, which is number 5 on our list.
That is firefighting vessel maintenance and repairs?
Correct.
Thank you so much. Is there any other items that members of this committee would like to discuss? I would like to discuss item number 10, which is bid 2024-363. Assessors purchase a 2023 Ford Escape. That is found on page 25. Are there any items on this docket that members of the council would like to discuss? Are there any items that members of the public would like to discuss? Thank you. We'll now begin with go in order. So we will start with item number 5, bid 2024-370, firefighting vessel maintenance and repairs. This is found on page 12. Good evening. Please identify.
Good evening, Captain Justin Vail with the Fire Department.
Thank you, Captain. Councilman Foley, you have the floor.
Thank you. Captain, excuse me. Is this the vessel that I was fortunate enough to take a tour with this last summer?
Yes, it is. This is our primary firefighting vessel, Marine 4, our 36-footer.
And is this the annual maintenance, getting it ready for the season?
It is. This is a combination of annual maintenance, but also some other items that, given the age of the vessel, the number of hours on the vessel, some things that need to take priority that we need to start addressing now before it becomes a larger issue down the road.
And what is the age of the vehicle?
It was originally built in 2009. In its current status now and its configuration now, it was refit in 2015.
Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions for members of this committee? Any questions, comments from members of the council for the captain? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. What's the size of Marine 4?
It's a 36-foot aluminum vessel.
Center console type?
No, it has a full pilot house on it.
Full pilot house?
Yep.
Is this inboard or outboards?
This is twin diesel inboards with water jet propulsion.
With what, please? Jet propulsion?
Water jet propulsion, yep.
And have these back up. How many hours on those engines?
We have approximately 850 hours on both motors at this time.
850 hours on the engines?
That is correct.
And what makes you feel that the heat exchangers and the air coolers need to be overhauled?
So typically with a vessel of this style with diesel motors that have what's called charge air coolers, being a diesel engine, and then heat exchangers, which enable the engines to cool and stay in a closed cooling system, meaning it uses fresh water to cool the motor and it uses salt water to cool the freshwater coolant, keeping the two of them separate. Obviously, with a marine environment, any items of that nature that are metal in design that have gaskets in that design and that use copper tubing as a means of cooling both the air and the freshwater cooling system, they become corroded. And over time, each year we annually clean those systems with a flushing system. But over time, as the corrosion starts to attack those components, you risk small leaks and small penetrations, at which point if those were to rupture and fail, you'd be introducing salt water into the engines, which should salt water enter one of those engines, you'd be looking at in the vicinity of $100,000 just to replace a single engine. So about this point in its life, based on recommendations with the manufacturer, based on recommendations with other vessels like it, this is a service that should be completed in order to make sure the integrity of those items is still intact so that we don't have an issue down the road. This particular service is complex. It requires first testing the units, disassembling them and testing them and cleaning them to make sure that they don't fail. But then again, on the flip side, if they do fail, you're looking at a substantial cost in the parts themselves. So by us removing the heat exchanger and the charge air coolers and testing them, we'll be able to ascertain if they need to be replaced and have to be replaced, or if they'll be fine to continue on with the service of the engines.
What's the brand of those engines?
They are Aveco motors. They're an Italian motor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with everything that you said. I actually have twin inboards with heat exchangers and air coolers. And as a matter of fact, I had to have both of those items serviced. And the cost was nowhere near 15 grand. Nowhere near it. As a matter of fact, my heat exchangers, I think they had to be replaced. That's one of the things that concerns me with some of these things that come before us for bids, because A, as Councilwoman Travis said, it's very difficult to get backup information from anybody about these type of things. Have you gotten an estimate from someone who is certified to work on these engines to do an overhaul of the heat exchangers and charge the air coolers? You're not looking to replace them. You're saying
correct.
Overhaul the heat exchangers and charge the air coolers. Do you have a written estimate from a certified mechanic to do those?
I don't have a written estimate from it, but when the package did come back for us to review, I did reach out to the vendor to kind of get an idea of where the cost was coming from to better make sense for me. I was provided with the cost of the servicing of the heat exchangers themselves, should they not require replacement, which in this case was, just give me 1 second here to flip through my pages. So for each, to remove each one of the heat exchanger and air coolers for each motor, looking at approximately eight hours in labor. The service separate from that, to dismantle, clean, test, and reassemble each individual heat exchanger and air cooler, you're looking at approximately $1,400 for that service on the air cooler and approximately $700 a piece for that type of service on the heat exchanger. So when you look at the number of $15,000, thinking that's just for those heat exchangers, I just want to clarify, are you there's other services within this as well. I'm not sure if you're looking at all those services combined or just the heat exchangers and air coolers together.
Well, as I say, based upon my experience with this particular vessel for 20 years, I just think that's a very high number to do what you have to do. Now, this vessel, who does the winterizing on this vessel?
This vessel stays in the water year-round. It does not.
So it stays in year-round?
Yeah, it does not get winterized, correct.
And what procedures are being done to this vessel while it's in the water year-round?
So in the water, when it's in the water year-round, it has coolant circulator pumps that heat up the coolant of each motor up to 100 degrees. The two motors, when at temperature, are enough to keep the engine room, which is only a small, I want to say, maybe 10 by 7 area with about 3 foot of headspace. So we're not talking about a lot of square footage. That's enough to keep the entire engine room warm, which includes all of your raw water intake components, your raw water filters, and all the other components within the engine room. And then on the inside of the vessel, we have a small electric heater, which keeps the temperature of the inside of the vessel up roughly around 60 degrees. So that's what's kind of keeping, that's the winterization aspect of it for when it's not in use.
So the boat's plugged in year round?
That is correct.
And is the water aerated? So there's no freezing going on around this vessel?
Typically, if that is required, the marina will provide it. Mm-hmm. However, for the last 3 to 5 years, we have not had that issue down at the marina with the water freezing in the cove.
In your position paper, it says the department, well, I don't know if it's you, but someone is saying the department is preparing for the worst case scenario in which all four units require replacement. When you say all four units, two air coolers and two heat exchangers?
That is correct.
So that's where this number is coming up to those, the high side.
That is correct.
With the potential to replace both units on both engines.
Yes, correct. For two heat exchangers, you're looking at about $4,600 with some room for shipping to get the parts over here. And then for two air coolers, you're looking at approximately $10,500 for both of those. Now, the thing also to consider with this is that should a heat exchanger fail, should an air cooler fail, we're getting some of the labor back on the reassembly that would go towards those repairs on those units if they fail. So that's why I say at the beginning of this is a complicated thing to try and to price out. So we're figuring for the worst case scenario, this is what we would be looking at if we had to replace both units on each engine. That's the worst case scenario. One of the sister boats in Providence had a similar service done like this, same age, outfit the same way. They had the service done last year. They only had to replace one heat exchanger. So I'm not anticipating that we're going to need to spend that maximum. But in the event that we have to, we're looking for that authorization to do so.
Have you had any issues with the heat exchangers or the air coolers, any type of leaking or any type of indication that there's been problems with them? Or have you had to perform any service on them in recent years? These are 2015 units, you said?
That's correct.
Okay.
The only issues we've had with them are some light water leaks around where the hose clamps would be securing to the heat exchangers themselves. I am a little concerned about the heat exchangers starting to show some excessive corrosion on the outside, particularly where the cooling coil, which, if to kind of put it in a little picture in your mind, think about you're holding a pound of spaghetti in your hand, and each piece of spaghetti is a piece of copper pipe. That copper pipe, that pack, slides into the housing of the heat exchanger, slides into the housing of the air cooler. Should that leak around those gaskets where the water is starting to come in contact with everything else, that's what's concerning me quite a bit. But at the same time, I know that with saltwater corrosion and dissimilar metals in contact with each other, you're going to speed up that process with electrolysis, with electricity flowing through the water, sacrificial anodes not doing their job properly. Those are all things that concern me, which is why we're trying to aggressively approach this now so that down the road I'm not standing here looking for authorization to spend $100,000 on a motor.
Thank you for your detailed presentation. Obviously, you know what you're talking about. And I don't disagree with your intentions. I just think that the price is rather high and would ask you to keep a real good eye on that. But I also agree with the results of not doing the proper maintenance on that, because the cost could be substantially higher.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Thank you for your detailed description. Good job.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions for members of this council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Members of the public. Thank you.
Thank you,
Captain. The next item is item number 10, bid 2024-363. This is found on page 25. Good evening.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing.
Thank you. I wanted to give you an opportunity to explain this. I know that there was conversation previously. So these are the two vehicles, for my clarification, that were already purchased. We authorized the purchase, and in your earlier description, because the bid is on before us now, in your earlier description, you said that you were looking to put lights on these as you are doing with the two vehicles that are being, or that you are seeking to purchase with the grant money. So you plan on doing the same lighting system to be installed on these?
Correct. When Mike Grant went to actually put the order through, he realized he hadn't included that in the bid specs, and he felt it was a safety and a liability issue for the city. So if something does happen and we're out there, not only is it the safety of our employees and the public, but also potential liability for the city if we don't have this equipment.
Thank you. And I have to say, I find it a beneficial when there's a car on the side, and if it's going to be a parked, or not only for the safety of the worker, which helps keep costs down, but also this alertness to the drivers, where they see a parked car flashing, they understand that the car is functioning, doing a job, if you will. There's right. A purpose. Thank you. Give me one moment. And this is being paid for by ARPA funds, this additional.
That's correct. Since the vehicles were, this is just added on to the ARPA funds.
Okay, thank you. And the amount of $2,070. So you went from possibly spending an additional $60,000 to $2,070.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Are there any questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. This cost of $2,070, is that all in? Is that everything's installed, or do we have to send this out to be installed?
Nope, that's an installed price.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for members of the council? Questions, comments for members of the public? Members of the public. May I have a motion on PCR? Of course, I go to it, I say it, and then 22-24.
Move favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Don't go too far, Neil.
Right.
May I have an acceptance for the minutes for the committee meeting held on February 26, 2024? I will move favorable action. All in favor?
Abstain. Aye.
Two favorable, one abstention. Next is PCR 23-24, resolution relative to abatements.
Good Director. Evening.
Good evening.
Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month, we have abatements in front of you in the amount of $2,053.05. There's only two of them. One was a border review adjustment that I actually recommended because we had found out some information about the condominium unit prior to the hearing. And the other one was a disabled vet that had applied within the ordinance timeframe, which is December 15th, but he wasn't able to get the paperwork in until recently. So now we're coming in front of you for that as well.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the committee? Questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? May I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
The time is now 5:51 and the Warwick Finance Committee is closed.
Well done, well done, good and noble servants.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The next committee to meet is the Public Safety Committee meeting, and that can start at 6:10. So we will see you back here at 6:10.